Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Apratam na tvaya kim nu bhagavan bhuvana ishvara yat na anta shadayam vishya tama pansi sorochisa apratam nastraya kinnu bhagavan vibhaneshvara yannanta hridayam vishya tamohansi svarokshisa apratam nastraya kinnu Bhagavan Bhuvaneshvara Yannon Tarhidayan Vishya Tamohangshi Svarochisa. Yannam tahridayam vishya tamoham si svarokshisa apratam nastvaya kinnu bhagavan bhuvaneshvara yannam tahridayam vishya Tamoham si svarochisa. Apratam nastvaya kinnu. Bhagavan bhuvaneshvara. Yannam tahridayam vishya. Tamoham si svarochisa. Ladies. Apratam nastvaya kinnu
Bhagavan bhuvaneshvara Yannam tahridayam vishya
Tamoham si svarochisa Apratam nastvaya kinnu Bhagavan bhuvaneshvara Yantaryam Vishya
Namasi Sarojisha
Apratam
not given
Na unto us Tvaya
by your lordship
Kim what
Nu
indeed Bhagavan, O Supreme Lord, Bhuvana Ishvara, O Master of the whole universe, yet because na our anta hridayam within the core of the heart, vishya entering tama. The darkness of ignorance, Hansi, you annihilate, Sarochisa, by your own effulgence. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, you are the master of the entire universe. What have you not given to us? You have entered the core of our hearts and dissipated the darkness of our ignorance by your effulgence. This is the supreme gift. We do not need a material donation. Purport. When Dhruva Maharaj was offered a benediction by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he replied, "O my Lord, I am fully satisfied. I do not need any material benediction." Similarly, when Prahlad Maharaj was offered a benediction by Nrisimhadev, he also refused to accept it and instead declared that a devotee should not be like a vanak, a merchantal man, who gives something in exchange for some profit. One who becomes a devotee for some material profit is not a pure devotee. Brahmanas are always enlightened by the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the heart. Sarvashacha ham hridishanavishto mataksmatir gyanam apohanam cha. And because the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are always directed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are not greedy for material wealth. What is absolutely necessary, they possess, but they do not want an expanded kingdom. An example of this was given by Vamanadeva. Acting as a brahmachari, Lord Vamanadeva wanted only 3 paces of land. Aspiring to possess more and more for personal sense gratification is simply ignorance, and this ignorance is conspicuous by its absence from the heart of a Brahmana or Vaishnava. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunitan Vidam Tam Jajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Vadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadishatarine. So, today we're talking about possessions. A devotee is not greedy for possessions. But there is one possession for which he is very greedy. Krishna. Is it? When you possess Krishna, you possess everything, isn't it? Since Krishna is the source of everything, since everything is contained within Krishna, there's nothing that exists outside of Krishna. When you possess Krishna, you possess everything. So who can possess Krishna? Is pure devotee. As long as we desire to possess things outside of the service of Krishna, what are we doing? We are denying ourselves the privilege, the opportunity to possess Krishna. So you have to think about it. What do I want to possess? Any possessions used in Krishna's service, that's okay. Just like I'm wearing a kurta today, a dhoti. Not that I'm sitting up here as a Naga Baba because I don't want to possess anything. So in Krishna's service, we can possess, you understand? Whatever is required for Krishna's service, that is okay. But if you go beyond your quota, you're in big trouble, Prabhu. You're in big trouble, Mataji. If you go beyond your quota, you are in big, big trouble because you're denying yourself the opportunity to possess Krishna. Ishavasham yadam sarvam yatkinsha jagajam jagat tena chaktena bunjita magra kashta sasvidhanam. Isn't it? Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. Therefore, one should accept only those things necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota, knowing well to whom everything belongs. The actual proprietor is Krishna. That's what Krishna says. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Krishna declares, I'm the actual owner. You're not the owner. Krishna says, you don't own anything. I am the factual owner of everything. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Therefore, what is the conclusion if Krishna owns everything? We don't have to guess. Krishna tells us what is the conclusion of his owning everything. Bhoktaram jagatapasam. He says, since I own everything, therefore everything is for my enjoyment. So one who tries to enjoy separately from Krishna, what is he called? He's a thief. He's a rascal. He's duskritina. One who tries to enjoy separately from Krishna, he's duskritina. And he can never have peace, he can never have happiness. You see? That's also stated in this. Bhoktaram jagatapasam saravaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatva mam shatam richati. Unless you acknowledge the actual owner and enjoyer, you can't be peaceful. Your mind's going to be agitated. Why? Because you are trying to possess and enjoy what is not your property. Do you understand this point? If you try to enjoy what is somebody else's property, you're a criminal. And you are subject to being punished by the laws of nature. Therefore, just as a thief is always in anxiety about being caught, Prabhupada gives an example in that connection. You heard that example that Prabhupada gave? He was going through the marketplace walking with a police constable. And every now and then some men would just take off running. Prabhupada asked him, what is this? He said, oh, they're thieves. I'm not actually coming for them, but they're worried I might be coming for them. So as soon as they see the police, they immediately head out running, you see. So a thief, he's always in anxiety about being caught. Therefore, one who is disobeying the laws of God by taking a false sense of proprietorship, he's always going to be in anxiety. He'll always be in anxiety. Even if he's posted as Brahmaji, the chief demigod of this entire material world, I mean this material universe in which we are living, he will also be in anxiety. There is no material position you can have in this material world which will free you from all anxiety except for there's only one position, and that is to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. There is no other shelter. There is no other place where we can have peace of mind. So we have to learn that art. That is called bhakti. We have to learn the art of bhakti. Otherwise, our position is a very bad position. We have to learn and master that art of bhakti. So how do you do that? Here I am thinking, I own this, I own that, I own this, I own that. My wife, my house, my kids, my bank balance, my yacht. Is it? So how do I get free? I mean, how do I function? If all of a sudden I say this isn't mine and nothing to do with it, how can I function as a husband, as a father? How can I even function? What's the practical way to make the transition, one might ask, you see? And it is practical. Bhaktivinoda Thakura is very nicely described in one bhajan. He says, now I am working to earn a living to support Krishna's household. You see? Not that you have to walk out of your household and go live in the forest. It doesn't matter. Grihe tako, vanne tako, sadahari boli tako. It doesn't matter whether you're grihastha, you're a brahmachari, a sannyasi, a vanaprastha, whatever you are, it doesn't matter. But you chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That will give you the greatest possession. Because if you actually enter into Nama, that Nama Ras, you see, actually develop a taste for that name becomes your personal property, it becomes your greatest treasure, you see, in the bank account of your heart. You understand? You deposit that name, and the interest keeps growing. Every time you chant, the interest keeps growing. And that bank account overfloods with nectar, you see. So we just have to learn how to possess Krishna by chanting his name with love. This is what attracted me to join ISKCON, actually. I first met the Brahmacharis back in 1968 in San Francisco. And also I was associating more in 1969, our Bhakti Madhurya Govinda Maharaj, he was at that time Makanlal Das Brahmachari, and he was preaching to me. I was a hippie songwriter. And he was preaching to me, trying to convince me, you know, to become Krishna conscious. But at that time, it looked like, the impression I got was it was like joining the military, you know. You know, you got to put on a uniform, you know, you got to shave your head, and you got to follow all these rules. You know, get live in the barracks, you know, and get up early in the morning. It was just like the military. Well, this is not for me, you know. But then later on, in 1971, I met another devotee. His name was His Holiness Vishnu Jana Maharaj. And he was really something about him. It wasn't like join the military, you gotta follow the rules and regulations, or you go to hell. It wasn't like that, you know. It was like, you give your love to Krishna. It was like nectar, you know. The rules and regulations weren't even really the thing. The thing was that beautiful Krishna. You can have a relationship with Krishna. You can love Krishna. Krishna will love you. You'll be tasting the nectar at every minute. It was like that. And then you say, well, Maharaj, this is really nectar. How do I get deeper into this? He said, well, the rules and regulations are there to help you get deeper into the nectar. You see what I'm saying? So that's actually the thing, you see. This is not the International Society for Rules and Regulations, is it? No. This is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So with the rules and regulations, they're simply to help us squeeze more nectar out of Krishna. You understand? All the things we do, rising early, tila, brahmachari vows, grihastha vows, all these things we do are simply there so we can squeeze more and more nectar out of Krishna. Now how much nectar is there in Krishna? How much can we squeeze out, one might ask? Is there any way of measuring how much nectar we can squeeze out of Krishna? Well, we can ask Rupa Goswami that question. And he's answered it. In the Vidugdha Madhava, he has answered it. How much nectar there is that can be squeezed out of Krishna? And here's what he says. Tunde tandamani vitang vitanute tunavalilandiye. You all know Sanskrit, right? Anybody not know Sanskrit? Everybody knows it. No one's raising their hand. There's one person that doesn't know Sanskrit. Okay. So I'll give you the translation for those who don't know Sanskrit. Rupa Goswami says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna have produced. Because when I utter Krishna, Krishna is literally dancing on my tongue. And when I utter that Krishna, those sound vibrations enter the holes of my ears. There's so much nectar. But what my two little ears can hold, therefore I need to have millions and trillions of ears to capture at least some of the nectar coming out of Krishna. And when Krishna dances in the courtyard of my heart, I'm completely stunned. My mind is totally conquered. I'm paralyzed in this state of transcendental bliss. Is it? So that's Rupa Goswami. Prabhupada considered this verse to be very, very important for the world. You know what he did? He told George Harrison of the Beatles to make a popular song out of this mantra. It's a very important mantra for the upliftment of the world society. People need to know, because everybody's looking for nectar. Somebody thinks it's in sex, somebody thinks it's in money, somebody thinks the nectar is in power, somebody thinks it's in drugs or alcohol or, you know, traveling to the Riviera, you know. They're looking for the nectar. But they don't realize how easy the nectar is to get. You don't need any money, you don't need fame, you don't need any power. All you need is a little tiny bit of Shraddha. If you can just have a little itsy bitsy teeny weeny little bit of Shraddha, a slight bit of Shraddha in the faith of the name, and you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. You can go deep sea diving every day, the ocean of transcendental bliss. You don't need a scuba tank, you don't need a bathyscope. All you need is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And you can go deeper, 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 deeper. And you know what happens the more you chant? All those dirty, nasty anartas that have been haunting you and torturing you for millions of lifetimes, they just go flying away. Just like when you clap your hands and all the birds fly away. You see? That lust, that anger, that greed, that madness, that illusion, envy, it just starts flying away. It just goes, starts flying away from your heart. The more you chant. Chanting is enchanting. And the more you chant, the more you become enchanted with Krishna. And the more you become enchanted with Krishna, the less you become enchanted with Maya. So, what are we really saying, Prabhus and Matajis? We're really saying all you got to do is fall in love with Krishna. Why are you running after a boy or a girl of this world? What can they offer you? They can't offer you anything except illusory happiness. We're not against household life, but even householders have to understand this point. You see? Householders are also meant to be renounced. You see? Have a renounced consciousness while they live their grihastha ashram. We cannot be happy by this boy-girl relationship. We can only be happy by making a relationship with Krishna. And Krishna is ready. Krishna has been waiting for millions and billions of lifetimes. When will you come back to me? He's waiting. He's been traveling with you as the Paramatma, the Super Soul, the Chaitanya Guru in your heart, waiting for that opportune moment when you become serious to get out of your suffering in this material existence. So that he then connect you with the external guru, you see, an ISKCON devotee, you see. We have many gurus, we have the Diksha gurus, and actually all the ISKCON devotees who are following, they are all Siksha gurus. We have so many gurus here. This is a guru movement. You see, I see so many gurus here. You see? So, when you connect with that, when you become serious to know, why am I suffering? How can I get out of this difficulty? Then that guru within, Chaitya Guru, he brings you into contact with an external guru. An ISKCON devotee will be there, he'll preach to you, he'll give you a book, you see. He'll connect you with Krishna. So in this way, this wonderful spiritual revolution of Krishna consciousness is gradually taking over the world. I was super enlivened by the chapter title, Lord Ramachandra Rules the World. And there will come a day, actually, when ISKCON rules the world. That's a fact. Not by political power, but by education. We don't want political posts. But Prabhupada's books will be the guiding principle for this entire human civilization in due course of time. The whole world will accept, you see. That day will come. All we have to do to make that day come as soon as possible is start a revolution. Where do we start it? Right here in our hearts. You see? You want to be a revolutionary? Great. There's your battlefield, your own heart. You see? You now here's a battlefield, now you're empowered as a warrior. Go on to your battlefield and conquer all the enemies of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. You see? Make a revolution within your own heart. And then naturally, by revolutionizing your own heart, you will have a revolutionary, uplifting impact on the atmosphere around you, wherever you go. Wherever you go. Even when you go to the, even if you're a grihastha going to the office. One of my godbrothers, he wasn't preaching, he just put a Bhagavad Gita there on his desk at his office. And one of the co-workers said, "What is this book?" And that co-worker became a devotee. Got an initiated disciple of Prabhupada, Ramiya Das, who's now in Alachua, Florida. He was just a worker in some corporate job, and another worker put his Bhagavad Gita on the desk, and Ramiya became a devotee. You see? So if all you have to do is be Krishna conscious, and you will have an impact. And whenever you have the opportunity, preach. Tell people about Krishna. Do you know who is Krishna? You know that little girl Sarasvati who used to be here in Vrindavan in the early days? There's only a handful of devotees. There was no Krishna Balaram Mandir. There was Shama Sundar, Malati, a few other devotees were here. And they had a little daughter named Sarasvati. And Sarasvati, Prabhupada said, was a first-class preacher. She would look up one of these Brijavasis, little girl, she'd say, "Do you know who is Krishna?" The Supreme Personality of Godhead. You see. So you want to be a first-class preacher? It's not difficult. You simply have to be convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you have to tell people that. Have you heard of Krishna? "No, I haven't." "Well, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." "Oh, really?" You see? So in this way, introduce this Krishna consciousness wherever you go. To whomever you meet, see how you can somehow bless them with Krishna consciousness. Wherever you go, you see. In our interactions with each other, we should always be encouraging each other in Krishna consciousness. What does Krishna say in the Gita? "Mach chita mangita prana bodhyantak padastayam katayantashtamam nityam tashyantica brahmantica." The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, their lives are surrendered unto me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. So do yourself a favor. Do the other devotees a favor. Talk about Krishna. Talk about the amazing personality who's adept at playing on his flute, who has blooming eyes like lotus petals, whose head is decked with a peacock feather, who's tinged with the hue of blue clouds, and whose unique loveliness is charming millions of cupids. Round whose neck is swinging a garland of flowers beautified with the moon locket, whose two hands are adorned with flute and jeweled ornaments, who always revels in pastimes of love, and whose graceful, threefold bending form of Shyam Sundar is eternally manifest. His transcendental form is full of bliss, truth, and substantiality. Each and every one of the limbs of his transcendental figure possesses the full-fledged functions of all the organs, and eternally sees, maintains, and manifests the infinite universe as both spiritual and mundane. That's got to be an amazing person. Show me anybody here on this planet who can manifest all that kind of potency. I mean, Krishna, even the demigods can't do that. With any one of his limbs, he's manifesting unlimited universes, both spiritual and mundane. It's just with his elbow. Can you imagine such a personality? Is it? His glory is ever triumphantly dominate this mundane world by the activity of his own pastimes being reflected in the minds of recollecting souls as the transcendental entity of ever blissful cognitive rasa. This is the amazing thing about the pure devotees. They're like mirrors reflecting the pastimes of Krishna. All you have to do is tune in to Prabhupada, you understand? If you tune in to Srila Prabhupada, then you're automatically tuned in to Krishna. Krishna's name, Krishna's fame, Krishna's form, Krishna's pastime. Everything about Krishna, if you simply tune in, you focus, laser focus your consciousness on Prabhupada, and then you will get access to everything, because Prabhupada is a mirror for Krishna. He's a pure mirror for Krishna. In this way, Brahmaji describes, you see. So, once we start talking about Krishna and thinking about Krishna and sharing realizations about Krishna, there's no end to how much nectar we can experience. There's no end to how much wonderful, loving feelings can become stimulated and awakened more and more within the heart for Krishna, for Krishna's devotees, for Krishna's name, for Krishna's deity form, for Tulsi Devi, for Prasadam, for the Holy Dham. Everything, it all works together and it's an organic unit. If you connect with any one thing, just like we have our Tulsi worship every day, if you put your heart and just pour your complete heart and soul into worshiping Tulsi Devi, and then that whatever bhakti you put into worshiping Tulsi, it automatically transfers to Krishna, Krishna's devotees, the name of Krishna. See, you can plug in anywhere. Just like the internet, you know, you can log in here, you can log in there. There's many ways to connect with the internet, but when you're online, you're online. You see? So in the same way, there's the Krishna net. You can log in through Tulsi worship, you can log in through worshiping Krishna Balaram, going to Thai, through book distribution, Prasadam distribution, cow protection, raising a family in Krishna consciousness. There's actually unlimited number of ways you can connect, but and however you connect, get connected, Prabhu. Get connected, Mataji. Get connected. Because if you're not connected with Krishna, you are in big trouble. That's a fact. So somehow or other, get connected with Krishna. Do yourself a favor and become Krishna conscious today. You see? In the past, I failed in so many ways. That's all right. A little kid learning how to walk, how many times does he fall down before he picks himself up and finally walks successfully? Many times. Keep your determination, keep your enthusiasm to become a pure devotee of Krishna. I have a direct order from Prabhupada that I have to become a pure devotee. I have to become a pure devotee. You know what he told me? He said, if you will simply engage with full sincerity of attitude in the service of Krishna 24 hours a day, then Krishna will personally come to you and answer all of your questions. Wow. That'd be nice, wouldn't it, have Krishna come and answer all your questions? Well, I haven't gotten there yet, but I know it's out there. Because Prabhupada told me I could do that. I know that I can reach, if I keep chanting, I keep following this process, I keep serving my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, I know that by this process, in due course of time, that moment, that wonderful moment will happen when Krishna officially becomes manifest to me. I know it's out there. I know Krishna's already here, but I'm just too blind to see him right now. That's the fact. I'm too blind. My eyes are out of focus. He's there, but I'm in other words, in this material life, Krishna is already present, but our eyes are completely blurred out. Just like if you took off your glasses, you couldn't see so clearly, right? So right now our glasses are off. We're in a blurred state, you see? Even though Krishna is present, we're completely blurred out. We can't see Him. We're blurred out by lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy, the false ego, that I am, the false conception that I am the enjoyer. What do you mean, Krishna? Don't you know I'm the enjoyer? You see? We're blurred out. Our vision is blurred out by these false conceptions. But by hearing from Srila Prabhupada, by hearing from those who are purely preaching the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, by hearing in this way, gradually, our eyes come into focus, and then there he is. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santak sadaiva hidayeshu valokayanti yangshama shundaram chintyaganaspa rupam govindamari purusham tamaham vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shyam Sundar, Krishna Himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion, tinged with the salve of love. Well, where can I get some of that salve of love? That sounds pretty good, huh? How would you like some salve of love today to anoint in your eyes? Wouldn't that be pretty ecstatic? What is the Sanskrit? Premanjana. Do you know that Sanskrit is the mother of all civilized languages? English also comes from Sanskrit originally, you see. So look, here's a little proof. Ointment is one word. There's another word for ointment in English, unguent. Notice the connection between anjana and unguent. Yes. So would you like some prem unguent? Yes. Yes, that's what we need to get. We need to get some prem unguent, some prem ointment. Here's some. Prabhupada's distributing. Prabhupada was formless. What was Prabhupada formerly in his grihastha days? He was what kind of business was he running? Pharmaceutical business. Well, Prabhupada did not go out of the pharmaceutical business when he started ISKCON. He simply switched to a different drug. Prabhupada switched over to Prem Anjana. ISKCON is a pharmacy for Prem Anjana. Do you know that? This is the Prem Anjana pharmacy. And Prabhupada is the pharmacist. He's giving out little tubes of Prem Anjana to anybody who wants it. You get it in your beads, and he hands out the beads at the time of initiation. Here's your tube of Prem Anjana, your japa beads, you see. Because the way this anjana is applied is you chant Hare Krishna into your ears, and that vibration then goes into the heart, and when it goes deep into your heart, then your vision becomes purified. So the Hare Krishna mantra actually is premanjana. This is the ointment of love of God. So it's available. But our eyes are so dulled out from so many millions of lifetimes of lusting over women or whatever we're lusting over, you see, that it's very difficult for them to heal. It takes time. It takes steady practice. Therefore, at least 16 rounds every day and giving up illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling, you see. So, but if you follow the medicine, the remedial healing process given by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, it's absolutely guaranteed your cataract vision will become healed, and you'll develop a divine eyes where you can see Krishna within and without. So we just have to be patient, we just have to be diligent, and battle it out every day, you see. But the good news is this, you see. And there's different stages of bhakti. First stage is you have faith in the process. This is described by Rupa Goswami. The first step is you have faith in the process. And then what do? When you have faith, you associate with devotees. Then by associating with devotees, you see, well, devotees chant, they They bow down, they take prasadam only, they get initiated, so many things they do. So then you take up these practices, this is called bhajana kriya. You take up the practices of bhakti. And then by doing this, what happens? gradually, all the dirt is cleaned out. And when the dirt is completely cleaned out, that's called anartha nivritti. So that house cleaning the house of your heart in the bhajana kriya stage, that's a struggle. We have to struggle with that. Because we're coming out of material addiction. We have to struggle with that to get through bhajana kriya to come to anartha nivritti. But Prabhupada explains, and this is very encouraging news from Prabhupada, that after you achieve anartha nivritti, there's no more struggle. It's just like you're going from here to here, and there's a big mountain range in the middle. You see? The first is the Shraddha, Sadhusanga, Bhajana Kriya, up, Bhajana Kriya, Bhajana Kriya, Bhajana Kriya, Bhajana Kriya, and then Anartha Nivritti, boom! You see? After Anartha Nivritti, there's no more struggle. You just ecstatically, it becomes an ecstatic celebration of bliss. After Anartha Nivritti, Krishna consciousness is nothing but pure nectar 24 hours a day. It's like dancing in ecstasy after you get past the anartha nivritti, you see. So here we are battling it out as sadhakas. You see, there's two types of devotees. There's a sadhaka and a siddha. Here we are, a bunch of sadhakas, struggling. Maybe a few siddhas out there, but I'm definitely a sadhaka. We're struggling, but that day will come. We'll become siddhas. That day will come, we'll become siddhas. So we just keep struggling, and finally all the dirt will be cleaned out, and then it becomes automatic after them. And when you finally pass through anartha nivritti, what is that called? Nishta. What does that mean? You're solidly fixed now. Pakka Vaishnava. You see? Now you can't be budged. Even if millions and billions of people surrounded you and said you're crazy, you're brainwashed, you would laugh at how stupid they are. You see? Because you're completely fixed. There's no doubts at all. Absolutely no doubts in your heart. And from there you go to the wonderful state called Ruchi, where the name is so sweet. You could go on chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, from millions and billions and trillions of years, and never get tired. You would, every mantra would get sweeter and sweeter. You never get bored. That's the Ruchi stage. And then you go to the stage called Asakti. Now you're completely attached to Krishna because you're just totally, absolutely captivated by Krishna. And at that stage, Prabhupada explains in his purport to the Narada Bhakti Sutra, Narada Bhakti Sutra, at that stage you actually realize you're rasa. You see? Now if somebody is still battling it out with their anartas and they think they realize they're rasa, they are called sahaja. You can't realize who you are in Krishna's lila until you get to the asakti stage. It's not possible. But even someone who realizes it, they always present themselves externally as a sadhaka. They never say, oh Prabhu, guess what? Last night I realized my rasa. Actually, one devotee, he went to Radhakund and he met one of those Radhakund Babajis. He said, you know, you're a peacock in Krishna's pastimes. So that devotee in his room in Mayapur, he was going around, hey, Prabhu, what are you doing? I'm practicing my rasa. Don't be misled by this sahajism, you see. Actually, the one time in Los Angeles, there was a group of devotees who got together and they just wanted to talk about